the subject and asked whom he should contact at the Department of Energy to discuss it. Purifoy suggested that he skip the mid-level bureaucrats and raise the issue with the Secretary of Energy, James D. Watkins. Glenn said that he'd be seeing Watkins the following week. The bureaucratic logjam was broken. A well-respected senator, a national hero, planned to raise the issue of nuclear weapons safety with someone who could actually do something about it. Secretary Watkins and his staff met with Senator Glenn, read the MoPanel report, got worried about the safety of older weapons in the stockpile, and contacted the Secretary of Defense, Dick Cheney, about the issue. Instead of taking the weapons off alert, the Pentagon commissioned two more studies of the SRAM. One would be conducted by the Air Force, the other by Gordon Moe, who was rehired by the Department of Energy to repeat his earlier work. Almost another year passed. The Berlin Wall had fallen. Mikhail Gorbachev had visited the White House, signed major arms agreements, removed hundreds of thousands of Soviet troops from Eastern Europe, allowed Poland, Hungary, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, Romania, Latvia, Estonia, and Lithuania to leave the Soviet bloc. By any rational measure, the Cold War was over. But every day, across the United States, short-range attack missiles continued to be loaded into B-52s on ground alerts. During the spring of 1990, R. Jeffrey Smith, a reporter at the Washington Post, learned about the safety problems with some American nuclear weapons. The Post ran a series of his articles, bringing public attention to the SRAM's flaws and to the W-79 atomic artillery shell's lack of one-point safety. Smith didn't divulge any classified information, but he did suggest that bureaucratic rivalries and inertia were creating unnecessary risks. A Pentagon spokesman defended the SRAM, claiming that the weapon meets all our current safety standards. Secretary of Defense Cheney met with Air Force officials, Secretary of Energy Watkins, the heads of the three weapons laboratories, and General Colin Powell, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, to discuss the SRAM. On June 8, 1990, Cheney said that the SRAMs posed no safety hazards to the public, but that they would immediately be removed from bombers on alert until another safety study was completed. The House Armed Services Committee had already appointed a panel of three eminent physicists to investigate the safety of America's nuclear weapons. Charles H. Towns was a Nobel laureate who had advised the Department of Defense for many years. John S. Foster, Jr. was a former director of the Lawrence Livermore Laboratory who'd served in high-level posts at the Pentagon during the Johnson and Nixon administrations, an expert not only on nuclear weapon technology, but also on targeting strategies. Sidney Drell, the chairman of the panel, was a theoretical physicist, long associated with the Stanford Linear Accelerator, who for many years had served as a JASON, a civilian granted a high-level security clearance to help with sensitive defense matters. Drell, Foster, and Towns didn't always agree on nuclear weapon policies. Drell had opposed the MX missile. Foster had supported it. But they shared a mutual respect, and their expertise in the field was unsurpassed. Purifoy was asked to serve as a technical advisor. The Drell Panel on Nuclear Weapons Safety submitted its report to the House Armed Services Committee in December 1990. The report confirmed what Bill Stevens and Bob Purifoy had been saying for almost 20 years. America's nuclear arsenal was not as safe as it should be. Recent improvements in computing power, the report noted, had led to a realization that unintended nuclear detonations present a greater risk than previously estimated, and believed, for some of the warheads in the stockpile. The Drell panel recommended that every nuclear weapon should be equipped with weak-link, strong-link devices, that every weapon carried by an airplane should contain insensitive high explosives and fire-resistant nuclear cores, and that the Pentagon should affirm enhanced safety as the top priority of the U.S. nuclear weapons program. A separate study on nuclear weapons safety was requested by the House Foreign Affairs Committee. The study was conducted by Ray E. Kidder, a Lawrence Livermore physicist, and released in 1991. It gave a safety grade to each nuclear weapon in the American stockpile. The grades were based on their potential risk of accidental detonation or plutonium scattering. 3 weapons received an A, 7 received a B, 2 received a C+, 4 received a C, 2 received a C-, and 12 received a D, the lowest grade. On January 25, 1991, General George Lee Butler became the head of the Strategic Air Command. During his first week on the job, Butler asked the Joint Strategic Target Planning staff to give him a copy of the PSYOP. General Colin Powell and Secretary of Defense Dick Cheney had made clear that the United States needed to change its targeting policy now that the Cold War was over. As part of that administrative process, Butler decided to look at every single target in the PSYOP, and for weeks he carefully scrutinized the thousands of desired ground zeros. He found bridges and railways and roads in the middle of nowhere targeted with multiple warheads to assure their destruction. Hundreds of nuclear warheads would hit Moscow, dozens of them aimed at a single radar installation outside the city. During his previous job working for the Joint Chiefs, Butler had dealt with targeting issues and the damage criteria for nuclear weapons. He was hardly naive. But the days and weeks spent going through the PSYOP page by page deeply affected him. For more than 40 years, efforts to tame the PSYOP, to limit it, reduce it, make it appear logical and reasonable, had failed. With the possible exception of the Soviet nuclear war plan, this was the single most absurd and irresponsible document I had ever reviewed in my life, General Butler later recalled. I came to fully appreciate the truth. We escaped the Cold War without a nuclear holocaust by some combination of skill, luck, and divine intervention, and I suspect the latter in greatest proportion. Butler eliminated about 75% of the targets in the PSYOP, introduced a targeting philosophy that was truly flexible, and decided to get rid of the name PSYOP. The United States no longer had a single integrated war plan. Butler preferred a new title for the diverse range of nuclear options: National Strategic Response Plans. Mikhail Gorbachev.